For those of you who might not have been here, the last couple of times I preached, message has been on self-sacrifice. And we started out by talking about the fact that we can't really self-sacrifice. We're serving ourselves if everything we do is about self-service. So we looked at the scriptures to see what self-sacrifice really was, and we saw what it meant to carry a cross. And Jesus didn't call us to carry the cross on our t-shirts, right? He called us to carry the same cross He did, the one that brings a death to this world, allows us to be sacrificed with Him and buried and rise again with Him. We need to carry Christ's cross. We look at the fact that people look for loopholes in the Bible. They look for common cop-outs where they can say, well, see, this is the reason Scripture doesn't apply to me. And if that's our attitude to Scripture, we might as well pack up and go home, because God's not pleased with that. And He'll have a few things to say to us when we meet Him. But God wants us to look at the Scriptures and see what ways we can serve Him. The Bible says that He purified for Himself a people that are eager, zealous for good works. And that's the way we need to be. We need to be eager and zealous to do the Lord's will. And so that has to be our attitude about Scripture. And so tonight, we move on to the second part, and that is talking about biblical examples. And hope to just start a little series on looking at people in the Scriptures who have been faithful in serving the Lord in self-sacrifice. So giving of self, biblical examples is tonight's sermon. You want to go ahead, Dave, and start that first song?
See, I believe that if you were chosen, that if you were elected, I believe that if God has anything for you, it's not just to make you happy. God did not choose you or call you out of this world just to make you high. And God didn't choose you and God didn't call you out of this world just so that you could be pious. Because there are enough pious people and there are enough happy people in the world. What God calls you for and what God calls you to is to make a difference in the world. You know, there are a lot of people who have never heard the gospel of Christ. And somehow I have a little bit of trouble sometimes when I see people spending $15-$16 bucks a hit to hear some flashy Christian group say Jesus is Lord to the tune of $15 a person. And there are people who live not far from here who can't even afford to buy a Bible. And somehow it seems a little bit weird that we should have more ministers in this country and fewer people, when in the world where there are so many people who would give anything to have a ministry, they can't find them because they're not there, because you're in our country. I don't believe that God chose you and blessed you so that you could heap those blessings up upon yourself. I believe God chose you and you and you and every one of you others because He wants to make a difference in this world. And you know what? What I think is scary about God is He didn't come up with any plan B. That He left the church here, and the church is the only group of people, and the church is the only institution in the world that can bring about a change. This government cannot do it. So stop depending on the government. Educational systems cannot do it, so stop trusting educational systems. The church was chosen by God to make a difference. You know what, people? You ain't going to make a difference by building more bonds. And you ain't going to make a difference by putting on more makeup and showing up on more television shows. And you're not going to make a difference by having the loudest PA or the biggest crowd at your concerts. You're going to make a difference when you lay down your life and in complete submission to God, choose to die with Him and serve to other people. And I had this great realization one night, and that's when I wrote this one. There's a lady down one evening, thought of Jesus on the road. Now the man
I think that's so true what he says, that none are stronger than the humble and few are weaker than the proud. Jesus talked a lot about being humble and the strength that we gain from that. And if we're going to have a strength in our witness to other people, we need to have that humble attitude. We're willing to sacrifice ourselves. And he talked in that song about two examples of David and Moses. And they gave up a lot of things to serve God. And they gave of themselves, really. They gave of themselves to serve God. When God gathers His people together, His self-sacrificial people, will we be numbered among them? Will we be numbered among the people that God has called and that willfully obeyed in giving up their lives to Him and giving up everything? Matthew 5 tells us that Jesus once spoke on a mountainside about those who are blessed. He talked about the poor in spirit. He talked about those who mourn and the meek and the merciful. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, like Daryl talked about this morning. About the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted. He told us that those people are the ones that are blessed. He didn't mention and say that those who seek out what's best for them are blessed. It's not the world's message that we're to follow, it's God's message. And these are the qualities that we need to have. Jesus told us that their words are eternal. I'm here tonight to show you that these require self-sacrifice. Every one of these things requires to give of ourselves in order to have them in our hearts. I'm here to challenge the complacency that so easily slips into our lives, to where we just sit on the comfort of our couch or do whatever pleases us. I'm here to challenge that. I'm here to show examples tonight of God's Word that show what a life should look like that exemplifies these qualities. And hopefully I'll get more chances to share some of those examples after tonight on another Sunday. I'm here tonight to push for us to honestly look at our lives and see, are we honestly living the lives that God calls acceptable when He calls His disciples to pick up their cross? Jesus said that anyone who does not carry his cross and follow Me cannot be My disciple. He said, cannot. When Jesus was talking about those who are blessed, He continued on the same mountain to tell us a little bit about our purpose here. He said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underneath men's feet. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Do you believe that? Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. On that day we meet God face to face, we long to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We long to say, "You brought glory and honor to my name in a land of darkness and unrighteousness." And if we're self-sacrificial, we can do that. If we sacrifice of ourselves and give ourselves to other people for the gospel's sake and for God's sake, then you say, "Man, that's a good God. He is a good God. Look at what His servants do. Look at what His people do." But we have to be willing to sacrifice of ourselves. We're not going to be impressed by people who are out there trying to be comfortable. "Let your light shine before men so they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus continued at that same time to talk about loving others. I mean, this is one of the biggest things that we can do to bring people to Christ. It's one of our very best weapons in God's war for people's souls. We cannot cower away from it just because it brings us out of our comfort zone. We can't cower away from self-sacrifice because it makes us uncomfortable. And we can't cower away from self-sacrifice just because it causes us pain. We can't do that. God has not allowed that. He has not called us to this little service. God's called for all of us, not just part. So now let's look at some of the examples in the Bible of how people exemplify that self-sacrifice. We'll start with Abraham tonight, and that's probably all the further we'll get. So we'll be in Genesis 22. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Sometime later God tested Abraham. He said to him, 'Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love.'" This is the one that God promised the descendants through. "And go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice in there as a burnt offering on the mountains that I will tell you about." Now it's one thing to note here that no one had ever been raised from the dead before. And Hebrews tells us that he had faith in God that God could raise him back from the dead. So he had that faith in God that he would have his son back. But let's not mistake and confuse anything here. Just because he had faith in God that he'd bring his son back doesn't mean this wasn't going to be hard for him. That doesn't make this any easier. Early the next morning, notice he doesn't take time to be with his son that he's about to lose. Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, imagine having to cut that wood. I ask you to put your minds in his place tonight and think about the suffering and the self-sacrifice that God called Abraham to. Imagine cutting that wood that was going to burn the body of your son. He set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. So they're walking, and now the moment of truth starts to get a little closer because he sees the place where he's going to kill his son. Put yourself in his position. You see, and you would probably stop and look and say, "This is the place where it's going to happen. I have to kill him there." He said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." He says, "We will come back." That's an indication of his faith there. But again, that doesn't mean it makes it easy. It just means he makes him obedient. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. The wood that would then burn his body, he placed on it, precious body of his son. And he himself carried the fire that was going to burn that body, and the knife, that wretched knife that he would have to drive in and take the life from his son with. Imagine having to do that. As the two of them went up together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham, Father." Yes, my son, Abraham replied, probably eager to have this conversation, talk with him a little bit, you know. I'm going to have to kill my son pretty soon. Let's have some time together. But then his son says, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And what a crushing blow that had to be. How could he tell his boy, you are the sacrifice. I'm going to kill you and burn you. And it will be an offering to God. How could he tell him that? I don't think he could. So Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Imagine every step of the way was really hard. Every step of the way, he could have said no. He could say, God, I'm not willing to sacrifice this much. But he's obedient, and he's going to do his self-sacrifice. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there, the place where his son would be killed, and arranged the wood on it, the wood that would burn his body. He bound his son Isaac, bound him up. He was no longer free, and he was time to die. And put him on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the moment now came, and he had to sacrifice, and this was it. And he was going to take the life out of his own son. His only son. The Bible says his son whom he loved. And he had to drive this in. And God called him to the sacrifice. And Abraham was going to do it. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. I know you fear me now because you are willing to sacrifice the thing that is dear to you. You're willing to do whatever it takes. You're willing to give of yourself in whatever way I ask of you. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. And I think that's so cool that they had this saying. To that day that this was written, they had the saying, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. And it's not until we're willing to go to that mountain of the Lord, that mountain of self-sacrifice that Abraham was called to, that the provision is going to be made. That provision wasn't made for him until he raised his hand to sacrifice. It wasn't until he was willing to go all the way and give up whatever God asked of him. I'll pass out some handouts here, and we're only going to get to the first thing tonight, so I hope you guys will be able to keep these in your Bibles. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks. And my question here tonight is, what has God called you to sacrifice? Do you guys think that Abraham was called to more obedience than we are? Do you think that we are called to obey just as much? Do you think that we are called to sacrifice, if God calls us to do that, just as much as Abraham was? Does anyone believe that we are called to the same standard as Abraham? I do. In fact, I believe that with us having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we have a higher calling. See, Abraham didn't have the help of the Spirit dwelling inside of him. He acted on faith, and it was hard. We have an extra helper, a counselor, a comforter, one that prays for what we don't know what to pray for us. And I believe that God has given us more power than he gave Abraham. And I believe that God has called us to a higher calling with that power. And we are not let off the hook just because we're not Abraham. So I ask you to think about what big things in your life might God be calling you to sacrifice for Him, for His kingdom, for His people, like we listened to on the CD. No, we have to willing to sacrifice. We're not going to change the world by building more bombs or having some big, great concert. We're going to change the world when we're willing to die to ourselves in service to other people. We're going to make an impact when we're willing to sacrifice ourselves and love other people and show them the truth of the gospel and show them that somebody cares for them, is willing to pay the price and die for them. That He's willing to send His bride out to be tortured and beaten through the centuries just so this world might know His love. I'm going to ask Dave to play one more song, and just before you play that, I want you guys to think about things in your life. But we're going to close on this and think about the things that maybe you can see that you've been holding back from God. Things that you've seen people around you and you've had a chance to help them out, but you were too concerned about maybe comfort or not being in pain. Is there anything that God has called you to sacrifice? Is there any self-sacrifice that God has called you to? When we listen to this song, think about, as we thought about as we went through the story, think about Abraham having to sacrifice his son and how hard that had to have been. I ask you not to let your hearts be calloused because you've heard this story too many times. There's no such thing as hearing the gospel too many times. There's no such thing as the gospel being too familiar. There's only a such thing as the heart being too callous to hear it. So I ask you to have a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone and think about how much pain it had to be for him to self-sacrifice like that. And as you think about that, compare it to the thing in your life that you see God may call on you to give up. And be honest with yourself and ask, do I really have a legitimate reason that I can stand before God and say, I don't have to give this up?